Well, in bass fishing, the pinnacle of sport is when you get a cardboard check. And Matt Herron is with me today, and we laugh, Matt. You and I have talked on the radio many times, and as friends we talk a lot. But there's been one of these things where you and I have kind of kidded back and forth about this search for the cardboard check, and you've got a cardboard check now, $100,000 worth of cardboard check, and you got to be pretty proud of that.
Oh, I really am. It's like a completion of a career, really, you know, because I've been very consistent over the last 5 years since I turned pro, but it's just that win has eluded me. And, boy, I've really been pressing, and it's just like the weight of the world's off my shoulders.
Well, you know, and it's the thing where the FLW Series is not a bunch of slouches. It's the premier anglers in the sport, you know, Larry Nixon, a lot of the guys that we've all heard of. And you know, he's kind of one of all of our heroes, including yours. And you were up against him. You were 4 pounds down to him, and David Walker was, of course, ahead of you as well. And you came out and had a great last day, had a great tournament overall, a lot of weight in the tournament. You had a lot of weight. But to win against Larry Nixon, to think, hey, this guy is, you know, kind of an icon, that had to be kind of special, too.
Oh, it really was. I went into the last day. I was looking at the weights, and Walker was 2 pounds ahead of me. And realistically speaking, everybody had been ultra consistent, you know, 14 to 17 pounds. And I knew it would just be really hard to make up that 4 pound deficit going into the last day. Good Lord just blessed me, Terry. I had a very consistent day, and everybody else's fish kind of went away on them, and I kept producing, and next thing you know, I've won, so it's great.
Well, Dardanelle, you know, has a reputation of being, it can either be very clear, you know, it's usually stained, but it can also get muddy real quick, and one of the things I think it scared a lot of the fish away and maybe kept fish from biting, you guys had some rain, and a lot of the backwater areas where a lot of the guys were fishing kind of stained up, but you had a little milk run you were running for the first 3 or 4 days, and the last day really concentrated.
Yeah, I really did. What happened is the fish were going into a post-spawn pattern in the backwater areas, and they were wanting to go out. And river fish historically will go out to the main channel or creek channel after they spawn once they kind of get in that mode. And I sensed it the last couple of days of practice that the fish, the bites in the shallow backwater areas are getting fewer and fewer, and went and picked up on a pattern where the fish found some of the first migration of the first wave of spawners coming out, and they had set up on the river and put together a little pattern, and had 6 or 7 key areas that I fished the first 3 days, and then the mud kind of took it over, and it really forced me to fish that one area the last day.
Well, and the last day was really a good day, over 15 pounds that last day, and ended up winning the tournament. But, you know, one of the things that I like to hear at Bass Fan, and one of the things as a fisherman myself, I like to hear how you really, you know, played this game plan out, and how this thing came together, and maybe talk a little bit about tackle and some of that, if you would. Kind of go through that for me.
It was typical river tackle, and it was a typical river pattern. Like I said, I was hunting where those post-spawn fish were headed, and with my knowledge of river systems, I kind of picked up on where they were going, and once I located them, I just went to basic river presentations, which is a jig, a taboo jig, a Reaction Innovations Beaver square bill crankbait, which would have been a method crank, an RC 1.5, and a Bagley's B2, and I alternated between those three crankbaits. It seemed like sometimes during the day they'd like the rattling bait, and then sometimes they wanted a little tighter wobble, and sometimes they wanted a big wobble, and a lot of it had to do with the current and how the water clarity in each area.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to something. You talked about a taboo bait, and you know, maybe a lot of the folks that are listening to the program today don't know what taboo is, but it's a company that, you know, it's made up of anglers, really, and you guys helped design, and you actually were integral in designing that, but you had some help there, too.
Yeah, I really did. It's a new bait. The general public will get to see it in July. We're fishing. We've got enough prototypes that we're all fishing them and field testing them and making sure they're all right, and basically we're waiting on the completion of the manufacturing, but there's 5 pros: Kelly Jordan, Dave Lefebvre, Anthony Gagliardi, Michael Murphy, and myself. And we all sat down and kind of brainstormed this deal. You know, what do we like in jigs and spinner baits, and what didn't we like? And we put all our heads together, and we're going to come out with what we think is going to be the ultimate selection of jigs, from finesse jigs to grass punching jigs to spinner baits, which will be finesse spinner baits, grass spinner baits, wood spinner baits. The 5 of us, you know, brainstorming this deal and putting our thoughts together, I think we're going to come out with a great product.
Well, there's no doubt about it. If you use it, it has to be good. And you mentioned some of those crankbaits. You know, they're all great products, all by great manufacturers. But you got to know when to use them. And the other thing that I think is important to note is you're with a line company, Gamma, which in the last several months has just been phenomenal. I mean, you look at the growth of a company. Gamma has just grown by leaps and bounds. But there's good reason for it. It's a great line.
Their growth is self-explanatory. I'm very fortunate in the fact right now that my sponsor lineup includes only the best and the elite in the industry right now. I took a chance with some of these fledgling companies like Gamma because I truly believed in their product. I used it. It was incredible. And time has shown now over the last couple of years, guys have gotten in their hands. And I don't think that there is a fluorocarbon on the market that can compete with the Gamma Edge, period.
Well, and give me a couple of reasons why you think that. Is it durability? Is it that it doesn't break when you hook, you know, when you have a hook set? What are some of the reasons you think that?
Well, it's the only fluorocarbon on the market that will withstand a hook shock of an extremely hard hook set. Fluorocarbon is extremely brittle. 99% of all fluorocarbon manufactured has a tendency, when guys really snap set a hook, to break. It's brittle. And Gamma, through the process of manufacturing the fluorocarbon, it actually, once it's fractured, it literally tries to repair itself, so it'll withstand high shock, high abrasive. You know, it's incredible, Terry.
Well, and it's been good for you. I remember the Top Gun Championship, and that's where I first was introduced to it. Tom Ferentz there, of course, does a great job of promoting that, and, of course, that whole Gamma Technologies group. We're in the fly fishing business, but they came out in the bass fishing business at Top Gun, and you guys kind of got the inside scoop on that at Top Gun.
Yeah, we really did. I wished I would have used it at Top Gun. I believe it would have made a difference because I was using a competitive brand and I broke off the fish to have won that event.
Yeah, well, that's not good when that happens, is it? You know, you look back at it, now you talked about your sponsors, and I know Skeeter Boats and Yamaha and many of the others are involved with you, but it really is everything coming together. It's a trolling motor, it's a depth finder, everything has to come together for you, doesn't it?
Oh, it really does. You know, you look at my sponsor lineup now, and I'm riding in the best of the best as far as boats go. I'm riding a 20i Skeeter with a 225 HPDI Yamaha. Hummingbird Electronics are far and away right now on top of the world as far as electronic industry. Minn Kota Trolling Motors, what can you say? With the lift assist and all the things that they've got available, Reaction Innovations, is Andre has got to be one of the premier bait designers in the world. He's come out with a Beaver. He's come out with a Flirt Worm. Now he's come out with a Skinny Dipper. He's just wrecking everything. Every time he comes up with a brainstorm on a new bait, it's incredible. For rods, I mean, the Helium 2s and Heliums, what can you say? I mean, it's a whole complete package. You know, I'm tickled to death with all my sponsors, and I'm just glad that I'm getting to show the great products that they're manufacturing.
Well, you know, Matt, you talk about 5 years of being in the professional ranks, but you've had great success in the amateur ranks as well. But, you know, when you look at the FLW Tour and you look at what you're doing with the series now, you know, you were in the running for Angler of the Year just about every year, and it's been pretty neat for you.
Yeah, it really has. This year's kind of been an off year. You know, I had the championship qualified through the series last year, and I took a chance trying to strictly fish for big fish and try to win events, and it worked out. I mean, I won an event this year, but I've really struggled too, so I'm going to have to readjust and look at what I'm doing, because I do pride myself on being very consistent, and I haven't been this year.
Well, it's been fun. I remember, you know, this past weekend after you won that tournament, you know, I kind of keep track of it. I was on the road at the Ranger Owners Tournament, and I was on my way back, and the phone rang, and I saw it was you, and I said, "How you doing?" He said, "Oh, I'm fine. I'm just heading to the next event," and we kind of laughed a little bit. I said, "Well, how'd you do? I knew you were in the top 12, and you said, "I won," and I had to stop the car. I had to get out and stop the car and holler real loud. I think people that were going by thought maybe I was hurt, but it was just because I was happy for you. I know you've worked very, very hard for this tournament win.
Well, thank you very much. You know, you and I have had multiple conversations through the years, and, you know, I've really struggled and tried to achieve a win, and it's so very important in this industry to come out on top. Man, I really wanted it bad, and it's like a dream come true. I finally won.
Well, Matt, now you're at Beaver. You're going to fish there. You're in a practice day here. Practice, of course, was over at lunchtime, and you're going to be in the rest of the day kind of getting tackle ready and stuff. But Beaver could play tough, but then you got the FLW Championship also in the bag now, so you look forward to that, too, in the future.
Yeah, I really do. Beaver's going to be a tough event. We knew coming into this year with the schedule where it was at, it would probably be a tougher type event. The fish are postponed, and they're trying to group up out. And it's going to be an interesting event. It's a tough bite, but the FLW Championship's going to be on Lake Wachita, and that should be a great event. The FLW Championship's always a great event. FLW does a great job with all their events. I particularly like the series format. It looked like we completed a little survey deal. They asked all the anglers' input, and from the guys that I'm talking to, it seems like most of them wanting to go to the rules format of the series, which would be great.
Well, no doubt about it. Matthew, you know, that cardboard check means a lot to you, but it means a lot to your fans out there, and congratulations on a great win.
Thank you very much, Terry. Thanks for having me on, Terry.
I'm Terry Brown. This has been Bass Fan Radio.